Penguin Random House Audio presents Unacceptable, Privilege, Deceit, and the Making of the College Admissions Scandal by Melissa Korn and Jennifer Levitz. Read for you by Brittany Presley. Author's note. This book is the culmination of more than a year of reporting and writing. We spoke, emailed and messaged with hundreds of people to piece together the stories here, and also utilized court filings, public information requests, and myriad other records. Many of the people we interviewed were involved in ongoing legal battles at the time of our discussions. Some still have criminal cases pending. As a result, those who agreed to speak generally asked to do so on the condition that they not be identified. Because we relied on so many different people and written sources in retelling this narrative, listeners should not assume anyone in any particular scene was a source of information or spoke to us at all. We tried to contact everyone who is mentioned in a substantive way. We have chosen to provide pseudonyms for some of the children of those charged in the criminal cases. Specifically, we have changed the names of young adults who were not named in any court filings or identified publicly by their parents or on their own. Preface. In 2016, Jane Buckingham was at her son's soccer game in Brentwood, one of the most exclusive parts of Los Angeles, when another mom turned to her and said something unexpected. "Who'd you hire as a college counselor?" "Wait," Buckingham said. "Do we have to do that? Now?" Her son Jack was only a sophomore. "Oh my God," her friend replied. "We're already behind." Jack attended the Brentwood School, set on a stunning campus designed to replicate the medieval hill towns of Southern Europe. With annual tuition then approaching $40,000, it had been referred to by the Hollywood Reporter as the place to up your kids' Ivy League odds. But insecurity ran through the school, with parents trading stories about this or that kid who had a 4.5 GPA, was captain of three teams, and inexplicably got in nowhere. No parent wanted to become that cautionary tale. Buckingham, then 47 and Pilates-toned with shiny blonde hair, was not known for being behind the curve on anything. She lived in Beverly Hills in a stately home with a red-tiled roof, Moorish arches, and ivy clinging to the walls, and she owned a company that advised corporations and nonprofits on how to understand the younger generations. She strode the stage at conventions, lecturing enthusiastically to audiences about Gen V, the kids and young adults that, for a time, she dubbed Gen Viral for their digital prowess. She authored books, including The Modern Girl's Guide to Motherhood. She appeared on Good Morning America. She had once been named one of the 25 most powerful women in Hollywood by Elle magazine. She was all the more credible because she was raising a teen and tween, Jack and Chloe, herself. As Buckingham's longtime friend, Andrea Hutton, would put it later, she felt she had to be the perfect mom, not just the perfect mom, but the perfect everything. Yet standing on the sidelines of that soccer game, Buckingham felt anything but. Her dashing husband had recently left after 20 years of marriage, which was heartbreaking and humiliating. Jack's grades had tanked. So, she bit. "Okay," Buckingham said to her friend. "Who'd you hire?" "Rick Singer." Buckingham wasn't familiar with the name, which had been passed many times before, from one parent to another alongside soccer fields and basketball courts, in boardrooms and golf clubs. About a decade earlier, Buckingham had spoken at a marketing panel at the fashionable Sofitel Hotel in Beverly Hills, describing the friction underway as a new wave of coddled young people headed into college and the workplace. They were so fragile that college admissions officers called them teacups. But parents in Westside Los Angeles, where Buckingham lived, often were the more high-strung ones. Entertainment industry power brokers and celebrities, lawyers, and financiers jostled to get their children into the private elementary schools considered feeders to a fairly small circle of elite high schools that, in turn, were seen as stepping stones on the path to distinguished coastal colleges. The moms and dads approached parenting with the same vigor with which they handled their careers. Insularity warped perspective, making it seem standard practice to pay hundreds of dollars an hour for SAT prep tutors, or tens of thousands a year for tuition at private schools. School fundraisers featured performances by Beyoncé, and auction items like a sing-along with Neil Sedaka, and a luxury villa vacation in Cabo, complete with jet and yacht access. At circle time for a toddler gym class in the early 2000s, for instance, parents went around introducing themselves and their children at each meeting. At some point during the multi-week session, the teacher suggested the children could try to introduce themselves and their parents. Some kids eagerly engaged, while others were taking longer to open up. Actress Felicity Huffman was there with her daughter, Sophia. "This is making me sweat," she whispered to a nearby dad. The two chuckled and bonded. A fracas once shook Larchmont Charter School in West Hollywood after a staff member there had the gall to start an advanced kindergarten reading group, recalls publicist Allison Graham, who lives in the high-end Hancock Park neighborhood and had a child in the school. Some parents whose children weren't advanced readers erupted. They weren't about to let other kids get further ahead of theirs in The Cat in the Hat or Chicka Chicka Boom Boom. "The culture is competitive on every level," says Graham. "There is this mentality that the achievement of your children is a reflection of you as a parent." Jane Buckingham never wanted her children to suffer the least bit of defeat, according to her brother, Michael Rinsler, who recalled Jack as a little boy struggling with a puzzle one day. The last piece was almost in, and he just couldn't quite get everything lined up. That's when Jane took her index finger and gave the piece the gentlest of nudges to help it into place. He was happy. She'd saved him from frustration. Buckingham was the kind of over-providing parent that she hadn't known as a kid. She grew up in New York City as Jane Rinsler, with a psychiatrist father who was an alcoholic and a mother who was a columnist at Glamour magazine. When Jane was 5, her parents had a bitter split, and then 3 years later, her mother went to Yale for her law degree, commuting to New Haven. Buckingham's mother was warm and loving, but busy, and Jane carried adult responsibilities and cares at a young age. She cooked and cleaned. She was told by her school that tuition was overdue, and to remind her mom to pay up. She felt let down. Why was she in charge? She reacted to the instability by working hard, and her drive stood out even at the ultra-elite Horace Mann School. She became a published author while still a teenager. The work, Teens Speak Out, based on her research of adolescent attitudes, brought national publicity, even an interview with Oprah, and enough savings that she could pay part of her own tuition at Duke University, where she'd graduate with an English degree in 1990. Her drive only grew when she was 21, and her mom died unexpectedly, leaving Buckingham to deal with a host of problems. Her mother had been about $500,000 in debt, and their apartment was being foreclosed upon. Buckingham decided she would never let her children experience that fundamental scariness of thinking that everything could suddenly fall apart. She was going to be that person everyone counted on. She was never going to be caught without a plan, and a backup plan. She pushed forward, working in the youth marketing division of an advertising firm and then starting her own youth intelligence firm at age 26. She sold it in 2003 to Creative Artist Agency, a powerhouse representing major Hollywood stars, catapulting her into LA land. She and Marcus Buckingham, a Cambridge-educated Brit whom she married in 1996, moved to Beverly Hills. Jackson was born in 2001. And Chloe in 2003. Marcus's best-selling books on harnessing one's strengths propelled him onto the leadership speaking circuit, while Jane authored the Modern Girl series and founded another company, the Boot.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?